right, so we are holding on Chof Dalet Omer Beis, six lines from the bottom. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we were talking about the case where a person has an animal that's about to give birth. He doesn't want the baby to be a bechor if it's a male. He doesn't want to have a drush of bechor if it's a male. So he says in advance that if it's a male, it should be an urga. And then we said in the Mishnah, im nekeva zivche shlom. What if it's carrying a female, then it should be a shlom. The question is, why does he need to do that? And if it was a female animal and it was born without being Scottish or anything else, nothing would happen. Why should we assume that he has, now, of course, obviously we could be talking about a whole animal where he decides for some reason to be Makdish the baby, but there's no particular reason to assume that. So why should we assume? So what's the situation? The answer is Sefer Asil Behema de Hektish. That second case in the Mishnah would be talking about where the mother is already an animal of Hektish. Now, we're going to have, as we go through the sugya over here on Chofei Amad Aleph and Amad Beis, we're going to talk about the question, which we've touched on in various other places, when an animal of Kodshim is pregnant, does the baby that's carrying have Kedusha even while it's in the womb? Does it have the same Kedusha as the mother while it's in the womb, or does it only get Kedusha when it's born? Our Mishnah would be taking the view that it only gets Kedusha when it's born, therefore it doesn't yet have Kedusha when it's in the womb. Therefore, if you want, so for example, the mother, Rashi gives the example over here, let's say the mother was a chatas. You don't want the baby, the mother was already designated as a chatas. Now you have a problem. The baby, once it's born, is going to be a vlad chatas, and we've already learned vlad chatas goes lemisa. You don't want that, so therefore you could say in advance that I want the baby should be, for example, a shlum.
And that works.
And that works, yeah. So that would be the case.
Without creating a room.
Creating a moment, it wouldn't make a difference. I mean, a moment would be when it comes to a bechor. Yeah. Okay. Then we said yol d'shnei zecharim chola. We said if it gives birth to two males, so we said one of them is brought as an oila, and the other one is sold to people who are chayiv an oila, and the value of it is cholin. You get into a whole issue over here, a whole discussion. Among the different mephoshim, is it because you have a suffix, which one is the actual ola? And is that suffix in turn, maybe because we're not sure, it could actually be where we mixed up and we're not sure which one was born first and which one second. Or it could be, even if we know the birth order, you could say that the suffix is whether he meant to be makdish one of them or two of them. So they're going to ask Amri. So they ask the question: what is the case over here in this third case of the Mishnah where it gave birth to two males, and we said that both of them become oilas? E behema de hektish. If the mother animal was of hektish, then ha'eich to aktish oila lehader oila lehavi oila. Then fine, the one that he's makdish as an oila becomes an oila, but idach nevi b'kedushas de'ime. But the other one should retain the kedusha of its mother. He, after all, only said if it gives birth to a zachar, even if we're going to say there's a suffix, fine. But the fact of the matter is that means one or the other of them is going to retain the kedusha of its mother, and only the other one we're preempting it with the kedusha of an oila. So how are you telling me both of them are being brought as an oila? If the mother, let's say, was a shlomim, then we should have to say, fine, one of these males becomes an oila, but the other one remains a shlomim, because you didn't say that two of them you made an oila.
And the two males are which ones?
Two males that were born to this one female. So the answer is, the answer is the third case of the Mishnah is actually talking about yet another case where the mother is a cholin animal and it's not a mevakeres. She's not giving birth to a bechor. Here it's talking about she's already previously given birth. So now we're just talking about a plain situation where you have a mother of cholin and for whatever reason you're being makdish the baby. So in other words, it comes out, therefore, the first case of the Mishnah is talking about a cholin animal, which is giving birth for the first time. The second one is talking about a kodshim animal. And the third one is back to a cholin animal, but a different kind of cholin animal, namely one that's already previously given birth.
Why didn't put both cholin together and then
Well, because first we mentioned the case where it gives birth to one male and then to one female and then the male and the female. That itself is not such a problem, but Tosfos asks the question, once we already say that the third one's talking about Chulin, why don't we say that the second one can also be talking about Chulin?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so, well, okay, you're asking a little differently. Why doesn't put the first and the third cases one after the other?
No, it's
and
the
then,
first Kachim and then Chulin, both.
Okay, whatever. The point is, why do we have to assume that the case of the Nekeva, where we said Nekeva Zivcha Shlomim, is talking about where the mother was already Kachim? And Tosfos answers, because as much as possible, we want to assume that the later cases of the Mishnah are referring back to the case of Ma'arimim, where you want to make some kind of subterfuge to avoid what would usually happen with this animal. If the mother is chulin and it's not giving birth for the first time, there's no Ma'arimim involved at all. So the third case, fine, we have no choice but to say that, because otherwise, how is it that both of them are becoming ovis? But in the second case, where we have the alternative to say that it's talking about a case, we're talking about where there has to actually be a haroma, because otherwise the baby female would have the same din as her mother. That can only be with kachin. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Yol the Tumtum van Dragonus. We said if the mother gave birth to a Tumtum van Dragonus, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says there's no kedusha on them. So the question is, am I in kedusha chol alein? Why indeed is there no kedusha on them? In other words, if the mother was chulin, fine, obviously there's nothing to talk about, but if the mother was kachin, why shouldn't we say that the baby has the status of the mother? Well, they can't be brought as an actual kachin, fine, but they could have kedusha to the extent that you have to sell them and use the money towards it and use the money towards the appropriate kind of carbon. The answer is Kasavar of Shimon Gamliel, Vlad is Kodshim Bahava Yasin Hen Kedoshim. The answer is Shimon Gamliel holds that babies of Kodshim gain their Kedusha only when they're born. So while they're in the womb, they have no Kedusha yet. So therefore, that means, in other words, it comes out, therefore, that the entire Mishnah is according to Shimon Gamliel, not just the last sentence about Yol the Tumtum Mandragonus, but also the earlier parts. When we said that the second case in the Mishnah, where it gave birth to a female, then it works to make it a Shlomim, and we said we're talking about a Behemah of Hekdesh, and it works on the ground that it's not Kaddish until it's born, that's also according to Shimon Gamliel.
In the first case?
The first case you don't need. I mean, the first case doesn't matter, because the Bechor, everybody agrees, is only Kaddish when it's born. And in fact, the Gemara says, because you have to say that, because if you were going to say that the baby is kadosh even while it's in the womb, and my ain kedusha chal alei, and why indeed would kedusha not be chal on the tumtum andragonus, at least again to the extent that you should have to sell it and then use the money towards the carbon. Wouldn't the kedusha of the mother already have been tofes? Would already have grabbed onto them? In other words, if we say vlade kodshim in the e'imon hen kedushim, what it means is, and we've talked about this in other masechtas, is it would mean as soon as the baby starts forming in the womb, it already has kedusha by virtue of its mother. Now, at the earliest stage, when it's forming in the womb, it's not yet a tumtum andragonus. That develops only later, when the genitals develop. So therefore, it would already be kaddish from beforehand, and that kedusha wouldn't go away just because it developed into a tumtum andragonus. We would still say it has the kedusha of before. Fine, you can't bring it as a carbon, same way as you can't bring a balmum as a carbon, but it would still have kedusha. So therefore, ela shmamina vlade kodshim bava yasin en freshim. Obviously, the answer is, therefore, that in all the cases in the Mishnah, or at least in all the relevant cases in the Mishnah, it must be following the opinion that the vlodos only become kaddish when they're born. Bahava yasa means when they're born. The reason we use that expression is because the expression in the pasuk about that we learn it from yiyah. So havaya is the same as the same shodosh.
So the answer is
that if in fact we were to hold that vlodos kaddishim bim eim on hen kaddishim, then a couple of the cases in the Mishnah would not fit. The case where it was a kodshim animal and gave birth to a female, and we would say your designation of it as a shlomim would take effect, would not be correct, because it would already have whatever kedusha the mother had. So for example, in Rashi's example, if the mother was a chatas, the baby would be a vlad chatas, and would have to go to Misa. And in the case where it gave birth to a tumtum or an androgynous, it would have kedusha, and you'd have to sell it and use the money towards the carbon. If you said that it has kedusha already in the womb.
In the womb, yeah. Right. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
For a human being, let's say a Kohen, When he's in the womb of his mother, mm-hmm. does he have a kedusha of a kind?
I'm not sure about that, actually. I think there is some discussion on the question of whether, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember exactly, I think there is some discussion on the question of whether the pregnant wife of a Kohen is allowed to go into a cemetery, for example, considering that the baby she's carrying may be a male. I'm not sure about that, but here we're talking about Bechor Behema anyway. Bechor Behema only gets the end. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos discusses on the previous Amud that we had a sugya in Bechoris, a long, complicated sugya on the issue of Tumtum and Androgynous, where Rav Chisda had made a distinction between Tumtum versus Androgynous, that because Tumtum is essentially a Sophic, therefore it still has Kedusha Misophic. So therefore, yeah, when we say over here that it's not Kaddish, it means it doesn't have Kedushas Bethen, because again, it only becomes Kaddish from when it's born, but it could have, in other words, Ein Kedusha Chalale, and according to Rav Chisda, would mean that Kedusha is pen, that you verbally said it should be such and such a carbon, that wouldn't be foul, but. Okay. Fine.
But if you said it, that means that it should...
Well, in other words, according to Rav Chisda, it would have Kedusha by virtue of its mother, because ultimately it is either a...
The mother is Kedesh and the Vlad is Kedesh. What happens?
So fine. That's what we're going to discuss in the next Mishnah. What happens if you say, for example, the mother should be one type of carbon and the baby should be a different type of carbon? That's what they're going to be the subject of the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it. So we're saying that our Mishnah goes according to the opinion that Vlade Kodshim are only Kodesh once they're born. So the Gemara points out, V'hai Tana Sava Vlade Kodshim Imei Iman En Kodeshim. On the other hand, the following Tana from a Braisa that we're going to quote holds that Vlade Kodshim are Kodesh even while they're in the womb. Like this. You have a pasuk in Parashas Bechukosai that says, "Ach b'chur asher yivukar la'Hashem bebehema." However, a b'chur that is born first to Hashem among the animals, lo yakish ish oisai. No man should be makdish it. Now we have a few extra words. So we have a few extra words in that pasuk. We have the word bebehema, and we have the word, and we have the word ish. So what does that mean? So the Braisa says, if the pasuk had just said, you would think a more straightforward way to say it would be b'chur lo yakdish. A b'chur, he should not be makdish. And you would understand from that that it means a b'chur, you can't be makdish as any other carbon. So that's the meaning of the pasuk. The actual meaning of the pasuk is that. It means, we've discussed this before, that the b'chur, once it's born, you cannot be makdish as any kind of carbon. Our Mishnah had said you can designate it as a different kind of carbon while it's in the womb, but not after it's born.
In the womb, you can say it's going to be a shlamim?
We said at the beginning of the Gemara, not a shlamim, because then you're taking it down a peg in Kedusha, but you can go higher, you can make it an oil, for example, yeah. Anyway, if it only said b'chor lo yakdish, ha'yisi oimer, then you would misunderstand the pasuk. Maybe b'chor in the pasuk does not refer to a b'chor of animals. Maybe it refers to a b'chor of people. B'chor lo yakdish hekdeshes. Maybe the pasuk would mean that a b'chor is incapable of declaring any animal hekdesh. If the pasuk had said b'chor lo yakdish, you wouldn't realize that b'chor is the subject, that you can't make a b'chor hekdesh. You would think the b'chor is the object of the sentence. He cannot make anything hekdesh. Forget in the womb. If the pasuk had said b'chor lo yakdish, you would think the Torah is telling you gzeres hakasuv that a human b'chor is not able to be makdish anything. If a human b'chor were to say on an animal that it is kaddish, nothing happens, you would think. Mm-hmm. Therefore, talmud lema ish. Therefore, the pasuk says lo yakdish ish oisai, where ish therefore is the means ish oisai. So by saying lo yakish ish oisai, that makes it clear that ish is the object and oisai is the subject. So now we understand that b'chur is part of the subject. Oisai iyasa makdish, you cannot be makdish the b'chur, avol makdish adam b'chur, avol makdish adam b'chur hekdeshes. But a human b'chur is able to be makdish various animals as hekdesh. A person cannot be makdish it, meaning that b'chur. But in other words, there's no problem. A human b'chur can be makdish anything. A person just can't be makdish a b'chur animal as any other type of carbon. However, va'adayin ani omer, however, you would still think, you, if you didn't have the pasuk phrase the way it actually is, you would think, if it didn't have the word bebehema, you would think, hu lo yakish, fine, maybe what it means is that, maybe what it means is that a bechur is limited, you would say, fine, a bechur is able to be makdish animals as hekdish, no problem. However, there's a limitation. A human bechur is not able to be makdish. An animal bechur as a different type of korban, avo yakdishuhu acherim, but maybe other non-bechur human beings can be makdish a bechur as some other kind of korban. For that, Talmud Lama, Bebehema, therefore the Pasuk says, Bebehema, meaning Bebehema Asaki, meaning the entire Pasuk is only telling us restrictions on animals. There are no restrictions on people as far as what, who can be makdish what. So any human being, Bechor or not, can be makdish anything, but any human being, Bechor or not, cannot be makdish a Bechor as a different curving. Then the Pasuk continues, Yachol lo yachdishenu babeten. Now, continues the Braisa, you would think you cannot be makdish the Bechor while up in the womb. Therefore, the pasuk continues that is born first goes to Hashem, meaning mishivuka l'Hashem yatamakdish. Only once it's born, and therefore it belongs to Hashem as a bechor. Only then are you limited that you can't be makdish avolat makdish bebetin, but you're able to be makdish while it's still in the womb. Okay, the whole pasuk goes like this: ach bechor asher yivuka l'Hashem bebehema. However, a bechor that is born first to Hashem among the animals lo yachdish isha. So no person should be makdish it. Whether it's an ox or a seh, then it goes to Hashem. The point is, when it adds Asher Yivuka Hashem, is teaching us the concept that you can only that you can be makdish it until it's actually born. Only when it's born, only when Asher Yivuka, it actually comes out of the womb first, then at that point you can't be makdish anymore. But you could be makdish it, as our Mishnah had said, you could be makdish it as a different type of korban up to that point, right? Now here's the key point to the Braisa. You would think, oh, yeah, I just saw your message. Yeah. I realized, yeah, 9:15 is probably a little too aggressive. Sorry about that. Sorry, yeah. Okay. So yochol af vlodei kol hakodshim kein. So you would think the same thing is true of vlodeis of other kodshim. Maybe indeed you could be makdish them until they're born. Talmud lema ach, and ach means cholak, means divine. So the difference between a bechor and every other type of korban. So therefore, we see in this braisa alma svirale vlodei kodshim im and kodeshim. So we see clearly that this braisa holds that unborn babies of kodshim are kodesh already in the womb. And that's why the Braisa is saying, the Pasuk is teaching us, therefore, that you cannot be makdish them as a different type of kedusha while even though they're in the womb. A bechor, yes, because it only gets kedusha once it's born, but other korbanos, not.
Why do you see it in the Braisa?
Because you see the Braisa is saying that the Torah is telling you, you're not able, learning from the Pasuk, that you're not able, from the word ach, that you're not able to be makdish the babies of other types of kodshim. Yocho avlodei kol hakodshim kein, tamad lema ach kolak. So we see the Braita is clearly saying that vlodeis of other kinds of kodshim, even when they're in the womb, already have kedusha by virtue of their mother, and therefore you can't be makdish them as a different type of korban. Our Mishnah, which had said keitzed ma'arimin, that you could do that, that you could have an animal. Remember, we said that the second case of the Mishnah is talking about an animal of kodshim, where we said nekeva zibche shlomim, was talking about where you had, for example, as Rashi had said, a chatas that's pregnant, and you're saying if it gives birth to a female animal, I don't want it to be a chatas amesa. Therefore, I want to pre-designate it as a shlomim or what have you. That works. However, this Braisa would disagree with that and say you can't do that, because our Mishnah takes the view that it's only Kodesh once it's born. So fine, while it's in the womb, it has no Kedusha yet. You can be Makdish it as whatever you want. Whereas the Tana of this Braisa that we just quoted holds it's already Kodesh in the womb, and therefore it's already considered a Vlad Chatas while it's in the womb, and you can't be Makdish it as a different type of Kodesh.
It does come out before the Shechtet, so it would be...
Then it would be a Chatas Amesa.
And to make a soul in the womb, would that help?
Well, it would make it a balas mum, but I don't know. I mean, you know, we learned before, maybe we learned before
so
that a balas
mum. Disagree.
So the Braita disagrees with the Mishnah. Fine.
The Mishnah.
Yeah. That's what the Gemara is informing us, that you should know. Not everybody agrees to have a yacht and hand kedoshin. There is an opinion of Tanoim that holds b'meim and hand kedoshin. Okay.
I'll be asking...
Bava yacht means when it's born.
Okay.
The shorter is hoya, meaning when it becomes. The reason why the Gemara uses that expression is because according to that opinion, the way we learn it is from the word in the pasuk yiyah. So and then yiyah is mishur is from the shorter havaya. That's what it means. The halacha is actually vlodis kodshim mimeim on hinkadoshim. So that would mean then that you can't be makdish it as a different type when next. Okay. They have the kedusha already from the womb.
Make sure it's before it's born.
Well, we're gonna also talk about on Omud Beis what happens if you find it alive in the womb before the mother when the mother is shefted. Remember, we learned in Cholin about the concept of ben pekua, that you find an animal in the womb, you find a preterm baby animal in the womb after you sheft the mother. So we have the dinim over there, that's mutter with the shechita of the mother. We're going to talk about that on Omer Beis over here. Fine. Omer of Amram of Sheshes. So Rav Amram asks Rav Sheshes like this. How about here's a scenario? Omer ala b'chur im yitzias ruboy oivah. What if a person makes a t'nai about a b'chor like this? He says that, now, in our Mishnah we talked about, where he's saying, while the animal is in the womb, that he says, I want it to be an ola. What if he says, while it's in the womb, he makes a t'nai like this? He says, at the time when most of the animal comes out of the womb, which at that point is the moment when it would become a b'chor, at that point I want it to become an ola, instead of a b'chor. So does that work? Ola havi or b'chor havi? Does it become an Ola or does it become a Bechor? Do we say Ola Havi? Do we say that it becomes an Ola? You have the next words over here to call Proto or Proto to Kanafik. Rashi doesn't have them. Agoris Agra takes them out also. It's supposed to be that who Kolil. An Ola is more important because it's a higher level of Kedusha. The whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore we should say that the moment that the roiv comes out, which is the moment when it would become a b'chor, when it has kedushas b'chor, at that moment instead it should become an oila, you would say, good, the kedusha of an oila is able to preempt the kedusha of the b'chor, that should happen at that same moment, because the kedusha of an oila is higher because it burnt completely out of his bech. Oy b'chor havi, or maybe we say that it becomes a b'chor, to call purta or purta to kanafik b'milsehu, because every bit of the animal that comes out is going towards the kedusha of a b'chor. The normal way is, as each bit of the b'chor comes out, then it goes closer and closer to becoming, goes closer and closer to becoming a b'chor, and therefore it's like that process, so to speak, started first. You have actually, by the way, there is a Gemara in Chulin where you have Rav Huna says that actually what happens is when most of the Bechor comes out, then we consider retroactively as of when it began coming out that it's considered a Bechor, not just as of now in the future, but as retroactively. It's negated to the question when the Bechor starts coming out, if you cut it up as it's coming out or if it's miscarried or whatever. So according to that way of looking at it, there's no question the Kedusha of Bechor comes on it because it goes retroactive. But the question is, according to the opinion, that it only takes effect from them.
B'chor
behema we're talking about, yeah.
And humans?
Well, b'chor adam, yeah, is more, much the same meaning, yeah. Okay. So that's Rav Amram's question. Lishnachrina, or another version of the question, you could argue like this, Shekhen Kedusha Chayla Ale, you could say that maybe Oila is stronger because it's chal on it. In other words, it's something that he explicitly said he wants it to be an Oila, so maybe that's stronger. Or Joma Bechor, Habishakhan Kedusha Merechem, or maybe it's a Bechor because the Kedusha of a Bechor is automatic Merechem, and therefore that's more important.
Are we still discussing the connection that we spoke before about if it's a chattis and the baby comes out has to be...
No. Here we're just talking about a regular case where a cholin animal is giving birth for the first time and you don't want the baby to have a kedusha of a bechor, you want it to have a kedusha of a different carbon, right? So Rav Amram is asking, what if, like this, for example, you might have, I don't know, why would the person want to make the t'nai that way? Maybe because he doesn't want to make the t'nai only while the baby is in the womb, because, I don't know why, actually. Whatever, the point is, let's say he wants to make the t'nai that only when most of it comes out should it be considered an oila, for whatever reason. Okay, anyway. So the first version of the question is that maybe Ola is stronger because it's a higher level of Kedusha, but on the other hand, Bechor is, it's going towards the process of going from becoming a Bechor from the beginning. And
animals is being shifted for.
No, we're talking about no. We're talking about, no. Yeah. And the other version of the question is that Ola is stronger because you verbally gave it that kedusha, as opposed to Bechor is stronger because it comes automatically.
Who says it because you designated it?
Yeah. Well, maybe there are actually different gersoys over here. There's a different gersa that Rabbeinu Gershom has. That
well,
the second.
I would say the fact well,
one second, one second. Okay, one second. That's the, you're going to see the answer with the Gemara. But actually, yes, Rabbeinu Gershom does have a bit of a different gersa in the Gemara over here, which is not Shekent Gersha Chayla Alei, not that it has to do with the fact that he was Mastashit. It's just restating in other words, it's just using a different Lashon for the first one. And the point is that the Kedusha of an Ola is stronger, is a stronger Kedusha in the sense that it's completely burned on the Mizbeach. So according to that gersa, there's not really a difference between the first version and the second version. It's just different wordings as we have throughout the Masechta, Bavli versus Yerushalmi. According to the version we have in front of us in the Gemara, it means the Gemara is arguing that on the one hand, you could say a Kedusha that you designated as stronger, because you explicitly said I want it to be. On the other hand, maybe a Kedusha that comes naturally, that comes from Hashem doing it as stronger. Yeah. Okay. Amale, sort of Sheshet answers, Mighty Barilach, what are you even asking the question? Heinu de Boy Ilfa, this is exactly the same kind of situation as Ilfa asked. And we have an answer to that. So once we learn Ilfa's question and answer, then we'll know the answer to your question as well. Ilfa's question is like this. Omer ala leket im nishiras ruba yehe hefter. Now, we know that if a person has a field, one of the matnas anim is that any stalks of grain, at any time you drop one or two individual stalks of grain, they belong to the anim. So what if a person says, what if the farmer says, I want to make a t'nai that each piece of leket, as most of it falls onto the ground, but before it's completely fallen on the ground, it should be considered hefker. Where the difference is, there's a couple of differences, but the most important difference is that leket is only for aniyim, hefker is for either aniyim or ashirim. So would it work?
Decreases the kedusha in a way.
There's no kedusha involved. So the question is, one second, leket havi or hefker havi? So that's the question. Is what he says effective? Because as he's saying that it should happen at the same moment that it should become leket, instead he wants to make it hefker, we could say leket havi shekein kedushas b'nei shamayim. We could argue that it's considered leket because that it's min hashamayim. It's supposed to be Hashem decided the rule that as soon as it falls, it becomes leket. Or yoma hefker havi, or maybe it becomes hefker, because hefker, in a way, is a stronger kind of thing, shekein zoshin b'aniyim b'ashirim. Because leket is available for both the rich and the poor, so maybe therefore it has a stronger, not so much kedusha, but like it has a stronger status in halacha, and therefore that can override the status of leket.
He's adding in Torah, it's mostly.
He's not most if nothing. The Torah tells us that he wants to make a t'nai. Look, if he were to make a t'nai before it falls at all, that it should be hefker. Of course, that's chal. He can't make a t'nai against what the Torah says. He can't be masna al-mashakas ba-Torah. But over here, the same way as he could be making a t'nai beforehand, that it should be hefker, and that's obviously valid. And in fact, if it's hefker, it's potter from leket. It just means anybody can come and take it. But in principle, if it's hefker, then it's potter from leket. So over here also, maybe at the same moment that it's supposed to become leket, he wants it to become hefker. Maybe that would work. Maybe hefker is considered a stronger thing than leket. One second. The Omer Abaya, and Abaya answers, my Kiborile, why is Ilfa even have the question? As we know, the famous expression, Divrei HaRav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishaimim, if the Rav says something and the Talmud says something different, who do we listen to? Meaning, if Hashem said one thing and a person wants to say something else, obviously we go according to what Hashem said. So there's no question. Yes, maybe you could argue that Hefker has a stronger status than Leket, because it goes both Lani and Balashirim. But the fact that the Rav, Hashem, said that at this moment it becomes leket, that preempts everything else. Hachinami, Divrei Mishaimim, the same thing when it comes fine. So that's essentially what you're asking, then yeah. Fine. Hachinami, Divrei Mishaimim, the same thing. You want to make it at the moment when it should become a Bechor, it should become an Ola. Very nice. An Ola has stronger Kedusha because it's burnt completely on his back. Very nice. It's something that you're saying. But nevertheless, the fact that Hashem said something else, then that overrides everything else.
And it applies to the leket and to the
Bechor. So it applies to the leket and it applies to the Bechor. Okay. Mishnah says, Ha'oimer v'lada shal zu oila shlomim. If a person says in this order that the unborn baby of this animal should be an oila, assuming it's a male, v'hi shlomim, and the mother herself should be a shlomim, dvarav kayamim, then what he said works, and that's according to everybody. that we're going to have a machlokas in the next part of the Mishnah between a mayor and a biyosi if it was the other way around. But if he says first the baby, then the mother, there's no question he can do that.
It's a firstborn, right?
No, it's not even a firstborn. No, we're talking about a regular female animal that's pregnant. No firstborns, no nothing. But he says, or it doesn't matter really, whatever. He says that the unborn baby should be an oila, and the mother herself should be a shlong, and that works. Yeah.
You cannot designate something that's not a bechor, but her.
Who said you could?
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody's asking.
Okay, no. He was asking if the baby is a bechor. The same din would work if it's a bechor. That's what we said. Kate said Marim and all a bechor. The same thing would work. Okay. He shlomim of vlada ola, but if it's the other way around, if you first say the mother is a shlomim and then you say the baby should be an ola, hareze vlad tivche shlomim divir a mayor. So the mayor says it doesn't work. The baby becomes a shlomim along with the mother. Amr Rav Yaisi. Rav Yaisi says no. It depends. Im lachein niskaven tchila. It depends. Did he originally mean to say that? Did he mean to say a complete statement? Then hoyo ve'ef shalikos shnei shemus kachas. Since it's impossible to say ola and shlomim together, dvar of kayamin. Then what he said is valid. In other words, and actually in other places it explains, Rabbi Yossi would say, we ask him, what did you mean? Did you, when you said he shlomim, did you mean to continue uvlada ola, or is it that after, well, we're seeing the Gemara actually, or is it that after you said he shlomim, you later on thought, you know, hey, I should make the baby an ola instead. The im mishama harezu shlomim nimlach, if after he said a shlomim, he changed his mind, he thought further about it. V'amah vlada ola, harezu vlada shlomim, then the vlad is a shlomim, because it already became a shlomim along with the mother, and you can't change it after the fact.
What is the sechel behind it? There is a sechel question.
So that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying, because Rabbi Yossi is saying that you it's impossible to say both things together. So we can't assume that as soon as he said that the mother is a shlomim, that automatically he meant to include the baby as a shlomim as well. He may well have meant to give the baby a separate status. So we have to find out, what did he have in mind? And many of them, Farshim, say it wouldn't even matter that if he said the second one after Toch Kedei Dibur. If he said it before Toch Kedei Dibur, there's more reason to argue that we should accept it. But even if he said it after Kedei Dibur, if it was just okay, slow to speak, so he didn't have a chance to say the second one's an oila, then yeah.
Well, I'm asking what difference, which for the order?
Because if you said the baby first, the baby doesn't include the mother. So if he said the baby is an oila, and later on he said the mother is a shlomim, sure, that works, because you can be makdish the baby separately, without being makdish the mother at all. But if he was makdish the mother first, you could argue that that already includes the baby. So the mayor says just that.
The mother, and not the baby.
Because, well, that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara, the question whether Uber Yerachimai, who factors into this, and other considerations, but whatever. In general, when you makdish a mother, usually you makdish the baby along with it also. Okay. And by the way, Rashi points out over here the machloikas that we were discussing before about the Me'ei Imon versus Bahava Yosin is not even relevant. Because that situation, that machloikas, about whether the baby becomes Kaddish when it's born or even while it's in the womb, that's talking about you were makdish an animal and later on it became pregnant. So the question is the baby Kaddish as soon as it starts forming in the womb, or is it only Kaddish once it's born? But over here we're talking about you were makdish an animal that's already pregnant. So therefore, there's a different consideration. Do we say as soon as you are makdish the mother, automatically the baby goes with it, which is what Rav Meir says, or Rav Yossi is saying it's possible to divide them, and therefore we have to see if that's what he actually intended.
That doesn't matter the order of which one's holier.
No, that one. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Yechanan. Hifush chatas me'uberes v'yolda. If a person designated a pregnant animal as a chatas, it was already pregnant, and the yolda, and then she gave birth. Then, so now you have two animals that have a kedusha of chatas. Fine. Rotsa ba miskaper, rotsa bevlada miskaper. If he wants to use for his kapara the mother, he could. If he wants to use the baby, he could. And the other one is not going to be a chatas amesa, because he would say, when do we say that vlad chatas is a chatas amesa? That would be where it became pregnant after you were makdash it. Here you were makdish the mother, and here you were makdish the mother while it was pregnant. So therefore, the baby gets its own individual kedusha, not dependent on its mother. So therefore, it's like the equivalent of shtei chatois l'achrayas, which we learned at the end of the previous parak. We said that you can offer whichever one you want, and the other one is going to be left to graze till it develops a womb.
The mother would not be pregnant.
If the mother was not pregnant when you designated her as a chatas, and then she became pregnant and gave birth, that's a vlad chatas, and that's a chatas amesa.
And you can't say you're going to be mucking both of them in one package.
No, because you can only be mucking with one animal for one chapa.
Right.
That's going to be the subject of the next Masechta Krisis, Rez Hashem. We're going to talk about the whole, the subject of most Masechta Krisis is going to be the various averas for which a person has to bring a chatas. Okay. So my time, so why does Rabbi Yechanan hold that? Kasavar Rabbi Yechanan im shiroi meshuyer, because Rabbi Yechanan holds if you designated, if shiroi means you left it out, you left it over. If you left out the baby, when you matish the mother, then fine, meshuyer, that works, because uber lav yerech imaru, the baby is not considered to be a limb of the mother, it's considered to be an independent entity, therefore, dehaver lekim matish shtei chatoris v'achrayis. So therefore, it's the equivalent of designating two chatas for achrayis, one is backup for the other, where, as we know, the din is rotem eskapa ba, rotem eskapa ba chavata. In other words, if we were to say uber yerech imaru, there would be no such thing as meshayer, the same way as you can't say, for example, this animal is a chatas except for its leg, let's say. So then you couldn't say that about the baby. But because the baby is considered a separate thing, therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, im shiroi meshuyer, you could conceivably say that the mother is a chatas and the baby is nothing, the baby remains cholin, and that would work. And by the same token, you can say, by the same token, you're able to say that the mother is a chatas and the baby is a separate chatas. And therefore, it's a chatas. Because exactly that, because the baby is not yerech imay. The baby is considered a separate entity, says Rabbi Yechanan. So therefore, you're able to be makdish the baby. You're able to not be makdish the baby at all, and you're able to be makdish it separately. And therefore, you can be makdish it as a separate chatas, and as a separate chatas, it has the gene of a chatas for achrayis. Okay. Moitziv Rebbe Lazer, so Rebbe Lazer asks on that, I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah had said, he shlomim uvlada oila harez avlad shlomim. We said that if you say the mother is a shlomim, and that you say first the mother is a shlomim, and then you say the baby is an ola, then the vlad is shlomim, and that's according to the mayor. And even the point is also we're talking according to the mayor, but the point is why does it use the expression harez a vlad shlomim? We say the expression that it's considered a vlad of shlomim, which implies it doesn't have independent kedusha as a shlomim itself. It has kedusha only as a vlad of shlomim. The ishtach gadach shira and meshuyer. If you're going to tell me that if you're able to leave over the baby and be makdish it separately, then harei a vlad shlomim. Why are you using the expression? It's a vlad of shlomim, implying it's only like a secondary level of kedusha. The mother has kedusha, and therefore because of that, the baby has kedusha. It should say harei a shlomim by me. It should say harei a shlomim. The answer is Amar of Tavlos. That Tavlos says Bar Minodari. Never mind that Mishnah. That Mishnah is not a contradiction to Rabbi Yechanan, because the Amar Rav Latana. Because in fact Rav tells the Tana in his yeshiva who set over the Mishnayos and Brises. He says to him, Tony Harezu Shlomim. In fact, the wording of our Mishnah is incorrect, and it should say Harezu Shlomim, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Not Vlad Shlomim, but rather Shlomim. But yes, it has independent kedusha. As a shlomim of its own.
Doesn't matter what he says first.
Well, if he said no, he said the vlad first and then the mother, we're not even talking about that. We're talking about where he said the mother first and then the baby, where the mayor says the baby has the same kedusha of its mother, but Rav is saying that even Rav Meir would say that it doesn't have, it's not that the mother has a primary kedusha and the baby has a secondary kedusha because of the mother, but rather the baby is considered to be an independent kedusha. So in the case of shlomim, it doesn't really matter that much, because either way you're bringing it as a shlomim. Well, in the case of a chatas, it makes a big difference. Is it considered a vlad chatas or not?
It wouldn't be considered
a vlad chatas. It would be considered, as Rabbi Yechanan said, a chatas la'achrayah, so a chatas that you designated as backup for the original one. Okay.
And therefore the implication.
Therefore the implication is not a chatas hamesa.
Right.
So that still works with what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. However, Meisvi, the Gemara says, have another contradiction. A brisa says in Gittin, ha'oimer l'shivchase harayat shivcho vlodich ben chorin. If a person says to his shivcho knanis, so he gives her a get shichur, and he tells her that get shichur is not for you, it's for your baby. Harayat shivcho vlodich ben chorin. You remain a shivcha, but your baby is going to be a ben chorin as a result of this get shichur. So the din is im hoisa ubra. So if in fact she's pregnant, zochsalo, then she can be zoicha on behalf of the unborn baby, and the baby is considered a ben chorin.
Even though everything that belongs to her master.
Well, that's the point. That's what we're going to discuss. Now, if you're going to tell me that that the baby is not considered to be an independent entity of the mother, and therefore that, and when it comes to a korban, it's considered over yerach imay mishum hachi zachsava. Actually, that would explain, counterintuitively, that itself would explain why she can be zoicha for the baby. What do you mean? The baby's not an independent entity. How can she be? Because that is the equivalent of a person being meshacher half of their effort. Umani, Rebbe Meir, it's really supposed to be. That would be according to the opinion of Rebbe, Kidatanya, as we learn in a Brahma. Hamashachar Chatsi Avdo Yosalacherus, if a person is freeing half of his Ebed, Yosalacherus, so that half of him goes out of Cherus, that half of him becomes free. And how does that work? It works on the principle that Gito V'yodo Boin Kacha. The guest and his yad happen at the same time. In other words, like this. We have to remember, an eved belongs to his master. So if you give a get shichur to an eved, how does the eved get free as soon as he gets that get shichur in his hand? Does it amount to, like, you took something from one hand and put it in the other hand, and nothing happens? It works on the principle that jike v'yode boin kachal, that the same moment when he receives the get, that same moment, that makes it that now he has a yad. He has the independent ability to acquire it. Now, the Chachamim agree. Now, you have a machlokes about that in Gittin, but the Chachamim, you have a machlokes Amoraim on that. But in terms of the Tanoim, the Chachamim there do agree that that applies if a person is Meshacher, the complete Eved, that Gittin v'yad v'yad v'yad. But here we're talking about he's Meshacher only half of the Eved. Rebbe holds it still works.
It still works, meaning,
in other words, he now has half of him is Meshukhrer, because, in other words, what happened is, at the same moment that he was, that get itself creates that he has, now half of him has a yad. So he has, half of him is now a free person, and therefore he has the ability to acquire something.
The only thing is, if it's a half, he can say, oh, it's me, not my wife.
No, well, okay. Right.
Half of a person have a yad.
Because, well, there is a concept of chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. We know that for sure. The Chachamim, who disagree with Rebbe on that, will say, how do you have chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin? That would be, for example, you had two partners own an eved, and one of them frees him. But then you have chetzi eved. But Rebbe is saying, you have another possible scenario of chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. You're freeing half of him. So now it's considered half of him is free and half of him is still Eved. So the half of him that's still Eved has no ability to acquire anything, but the half of him that's free has the ability. And how does he get that ability at the same moment? So in other words, it's interdependent. He gets the ability to acquire something. Therefore, he's able to acquire that get shichur, and that get shichur itself is what's giving him the ability to acquire it. So it's a circular logic, kind of, but it works. That's called Gitevi Yadid Boin Kacha. So that circular logic works.
So the heart that Chari is able to
acquire, yeah.
To acquire?
Yeah. And in fact, there are other dinim that apply to a Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin. Technically, for example, you have the Gemara discusses in a half a dozen places the question, who is he allowed to marry? He can't marry a Shifcha because half of them is a Ben Chorin, and a Yisrael, a Ben Chorin, is not allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis. He's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael because half of him is an Eved Knani. So the Gemara mentions in a half a dozen places.
You can only marry someone in the same situation.
No, actually not, the Gemara discusses over there, because you have the half of him that's an Eved is going to be having relations with the half of him that's a Bas Chorin, and with half of him that's a Bas Chorin, and vice versa. So the Gemara, that part is not the circular logic. So actually, the Gemara mentions in a half a dozen places. It's actually the original is a Mishnah, I think, in Adius, where Bethilel says, okay, so fine. He, you know, forget about who he can marry. He works. He works every other day. He works for himself, and every other day he works for his master, who's still on Gavin. But Bishamai points out you have the problem who he can marry. So Bethilel agreed to Bishamai. This is one of the cases where Bethilel ended up giving up their opinion in favor of Bishamai, that yes, we force his master to free him completely, to free the other half of him, so that he can marry a Bas Yisrael. And then, okay, the Eved will owe him that half of the money. Which, by the way, that only applies to an Eved. A Shifcha, So the Gemara mentions in Gittin over there, a shivcha, women have no mitzvah, period, period, yeah? Therefore, women don't have a mitzvah to get married. So if it's a shivcha, then she can remain indefinitely, half shivcha, half bas koren. Unless, the Gemara mentions in Gittin over there, you have a situation, if people are being promiscuous with her, then we force her master to free her as well. But anyway, the point is, the point is, there is the possibility of somebody being chetzi eved b'chetzi ben choren. Everybody would agree that if you're mashachar of a complete eved, that we say at least all the tanoim, well, I shouldn't say all the tanoim. I mean, the amiroim argue on this point. The halacha is that, yes, jitze v'yodeh bo'in kachas, but at least in terms of the opinions that we're dealing with over here, everybody agrees that when you're mashachar of a complete eved, jitze v'yodeh bo'in kachas, that circular logic works, that the get is giving him the yad, and the yad makes it possible for him to receive the get. Rebbe also holds that the same thing applies by chatzi avdei. Fine. So then, in that case, if we say that, then fine. The braisa that we mentioned that you can be that you're able to say the shivcha remains a shivcha, but the baby remains a ben chorin. Fine. That works on the principle of chatzi avdei. So it would be according to Rebbe.
I was thinking that since I learned on Taroidu, so who said that you should force the other guy to give a shekhar?
It's called Mipnei Tikkun Olam. This is one of the examples where the Chachamim made a sakana, but Shammai says it, but still ended up agreeing, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, in order to for the good ordering of the world, so this guy should be able to get married, because Lo V'Torah Bra L'Shevet Yitzara, therefore we forced him to you.
No, I thought we'd go absolutely, make the guy take him back.
No, so because once a person's a Ben Chorin, he can never become an Evan again. No, then you can be an Eved Ivri, but not an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani, you can never go back to being. Yeah. But the E Am Shiroi Meshuyer Ubo Lav Yerach Imayu. But if you say that, Rav Yechanan, you're telling me that if you left over the baby and were not makdish it together with the mother, then that works. And by the same thing, by the shivcha, the same thing would be true, that you're able to be mashach, that you're able to keep the baby separate from the mother, because uber lav yerachim aru. Well, the question is, am I zoch savoy? The question would be, how would it work that the mother is zoche in the get shichur on behalf of her baby? V'hatanya, nirin dvarim. What? No, well, because then there's two different avodim. And v'hatanya we learn in a braisa nirin dvarim. It's supposed to be it seems logical. The Gemara says there in Gittin. Sh'ha'eved zoicha l'kabel get shichrum sh'chaveire miyad rabo she'enoi shaloi. An eved can receive a get shichrum on behalf of another eved from someone who's not his own master. V'loi miyad rabo shaloi, but not from his own master. Because again, an eved himself has no independent yad. So if the eved of Reuven receives a get shichrum from Shimon on behalf of Shimon's Eved, fine, that works, because the Eved of Reuven is Reuven's Yad, Shimon is Shimon, so Shimon in effect is giving it to Reuven, and good, Reuven or his Yad can acquire it on behalf of Shimon's Eved. But
Reuven's Eved receives...
Okay, Shimon wants to be Meshachar of his Eved.
Yeah.
So he gives a get Shichrur to Reuven's Eved, saying, you, Reuven's Eved, you acquire that get on, you acquire that get shichur.
Someone else's Eved.
He's not freeing Reuven's Eved. He's giving the get shichur to Reuven's Eved, that Reuven's Eved should receive it on behalf of Shimon's Eved. So that works because Shimon, in effect, is giving it to Reuven, because Reuven's Eved is like Reuven's Yad. So good, the same way as if Shimon gave it to Reuven, Reuven being a Ben Chorin could be Zoychen and on behalf of Shimon's Eved. The same way, Reuven's Eved is the same thing. But if Reuven himself, let's say, has two avodim, and he wants to give the get shichur to Eved A to receive it on behalf of Eved B, that wouldn't work, because both of them are the yad of Reuven, so it's the equivalent of Reuven taking it from his right hand and putting it in his left hand, where nothing happens. So if you're going to say that the uber is not yerech imay, then you have the mother is one shichur, the baby is another one, is an Eved, and how can she acquire? No, it's not. How can she acquire it on behalf of him?
If she's not Yerech Imay,
if the baby is not Yerech Imay, then it's separate people. So how is she, one Eved, acquiring it on behalf of him, a different Eved, who both belong to the same master? Evidently, that means that in the case of the baby, if you leave it over, it's not considered to be left out. It's considered to be Yerech Imay. Isn't that a clear contradiction on Rav Yechanan? So the Gemara says, yes, it is a clear contradiction. However, the Gemara continues, Lema, should we have to say, that maybe this question, can you leave the baby out and give it, consider it a separate entity, is that maybe a machloek with panoyim? Now, it's interesting, actually, on the side over here, it references a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, which takes out the word kyuvta from our Gemara over here. That the Gemara had, in other words, that the way we have it in the Gemara over here is the Gemara has proved from that case of the Shivcha and the baby that the halacha can't be like Rabbi Yochanan. However, now the Gemara is continuing, is it may be a machloek b'tanoim, the Tosfos in a sugya in Sanhedrin, in fact, takes out the word Tiyokta. It's not a contradiction. Yes, we have a Braisa against Rabbi Yochanan from the one of the Shivcha, but now we're going to have another Braisa where we see that this is a machloek b'tanoim. And therefore, that doesn't necessarily contradict Rabbi Yochanan. The Rambam, in fact, passed him like Rabbi Yochanan, as far as the Eved and the Shif, as far as the Shif. Because it's the Machloek of Tanoim. And therefore, right, exactly. So therefore, the Rambam can still pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, because...
It's not different from what he says, one place to another.
Well, Tiyukta would mean if we had a Braisa or a Mishnah contradicting him. We do. We have a Braisa where the implication of it clearly contradicts Rabbi Yehuda. However, since, as we're going to quote, we have another Braisa that brings Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachamim on that, so fine, Rabbi Yehuda can hold like one of those opinions. Yes, the previous Braisa contradicted him, but okay, we see it's Machloek Tanoim, and Rabbi Yehuda is entitled to pick sides.
So it wouldn't be a Tiyukta on
Rabbi Yehuda. The Lachan Mishnah on the Rambam there says somewhat similar. He doesn't mention about the Rambam having a different Girsa, but he says what it is the Gemara, we can keep the word Tiyokta in our Gemara. Fine, the Gemara thought we slogged up Rabbi Yochanan, but later on, meaning that we clearly slogged him up, but later on they found another Braisa, and therefore they reopened the, therefore they, so it's not a Tiyokta in the end. So should we say that this is actually a Machloka Tanoi? Netanya, we learn in a Braisa, if a person says to his shivcha, or rather writes out in a get shivcha, because that's how it works, you are a bas churin, but your baby will remain an eved. This is the opposite of the previous case. Before we were saying you stay a shivcha, but the baby will be a ben churin. Rabbi Yosi says the baby will be like her. Therefore, since she's a bas churin, the baby is also a ben churin. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Agrili. Say what he said works. It is possible for her to be a shivcha and for her to be a bas churin and the baby to be an eved. Because the pasuk says in connection with you have an eved ivri over there who's married to a shivcha kananis, which the master is allowed to do. The pasuk says when he goes free, the woman and her children stay by her master. Where are the Chachamim getting from this pasuk anything about that the baby can have a different status than the mother? The answer is Amar Rava, Amar Kra L'Rabbi Yosi Agrili. No, you're actually the pasuk is actually being quoted as a proof for Rabbi Yosi Agrili, not as a proof for the Chachamim. In other words, Rabbi Yosi Agrili says his part. Vlada Kamaya. The Chachamim interject and say Dvarav Kayam. Rabbi Yosi Agrili continues. Why do I say Vlada Kamaya? Because it says that Ishavi Ladeati Aladin. Meaning, Dikatani, Vlada Kamaya, he says that her baby is like her, Shenema, her Isha Viladea Tiyaladinea, because the Pasuk says the woman and her children remain by her, belong to her master. Meaning, Bizman Sha Isha Ladinea, Vlada Ladinea, when the Shivka belongs to her master, only then does the baby also belong to the master, and not otherwise. So therefore, if she's a Bas Chorin, then the baby automatically has to be a Ben Chorin as well, says Rabbi Yosi. Okay. So my love, Bahal Kamitri, so shouldn't we say that that's the underlying machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim? The Rabbi Yosi Sava Shirei Einim Meshuyer. Rabbi Yosi apparently would hold, in all cases, that you can't leave out the baby. So therefore, the opposite case would also be if you said that the woman should remain a shivcha, but the baby should be a ben churin. Rabbi Yosi would hold that doesn't work either. The baby always follows the mother.
1 second. The shira eino meshuyar is the same thing as
saying uber yerachim. Yes.
The same thing.
Right.
Okay.
Why do
you use the different flush?
Because we're talking about in terms of if you leave out the baby, if you want to give the baby a different status, right? V'rabbanan Savri Meshuyah, whereas the Rabbanan apparently would hold it does work to leave it out. So that would be then, so Rabbi Yochanan would be going according to Rabbi Yosi Agrili, and the Chachamim would not. However, the Gemara says, Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan can answer, you know, that Machloikas has nothing to do with my opinion. Dekulei Al Meshiroi Meshuyah, everybody might say that if you leave out the baby, actually the other way around, rather, Rabbi Yossi would be only according to the Chachamim, not according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi had said Shir and the Shuyer. And we ask that the Braita about the Shitcha and the baby seems to imply Shira Ein Meshuyer. So now we're saying, now we thought to say that fine, that earlier Braita at the top of the Amud is a point of Yosef Agrivi. So he would always say the mother and the baby always have to have the same status. There's no dividing them. We would say it goes according to Rebbe. Now we would say though that Rabbi Yochanan is going according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosef really disagrees. But
once the blood would be born, her shech could be born. Then he could accept that.
Well, obviously, yeah, that's a different matter. So on the face of it, it's a machlokas panoyim. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is not contradicted by the previous braisa, because that would be only according to Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan would be going according to the Chachamim. But Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, the Kula Alma Shira and Meshuyer, not necessarily, both Rabbi Yosef really and the Chachamim might hold Shira and Meshuyer. You can leave out the baby and give it a separate status from the mother. The reason why, in this case, Rabbi Yosef really says separately is because the Amalach Rabbi Yochanan should be led out here later now. So therefore, it's an exception because the pasuk explicitly says so, but not necessarily with not right. Okay, it's Gemara says El. So fine. So you don't have to say that Machlokas Rabbi Yosef really and the Chachamim has anything to do with Rabbi Yosef's statement. It might be a separate Zeres Hakosim there. But El Vaday Lema Kihani Tanori. However, we can definitely say, should we definitely have to say that Machlokas that it depends on the following Machlokas Tanori. The Tanya we learn in a Braisa. Hashreichet as a chatas, if a person shechts an animal for a chatas, umasaba ben dalad chai, he finds in the womb a baby that's 4 months into the pregnancy that's alive. In other words, so 5 months for sheep and goats, 5 months is the length of their pregnancy. So 4 months means that it's preterm. It's not yet full term. It wasn't quite ready to be born yet. And you found it in the womb alive. So it's a ben pekua. So it becomes mutter. So when you shech the mother, then the baby follows the status of the mother. So what happens with that baby? Toni chada einan echelos elal zichrit kohuna the einan echelos elal yem echad the einan echelos elal pnim nachoim. One brayta says that baby will have exactly the same din as the mother. It can only be eaten by the male kohenim and only for one day and one night and only in the azara. Meaning, in other words, it's like the mother. It has the same din of a chatas. Just like the rest of the meat of the mother, you could only eat only the male kohenim and only in the azara, etc. The same way the meat of this baby would be the same thing. The Tanya Idach, a different braisa, says no. Nechalos b'chol Adam, v'nechalos b'chol Makom, v'nechalos la'olam. It can be eaten by anybody in any place indefinitely. In other words, we have to figure out what the basis of that machlokas tanoim is. My lav tanoi. So shouldn't we have to say that that's the underlying machlokas of these tanoim in this braisa? The Tanakama Sava Shiroi Einem Meshuyer, Umar Sava Shiroi Meshuyer. Namely, you would have Rashi and Tosfos actually flip around the opinions over here that the Tanakama would say Shiroi Meshuyer and the first braisa between these two braisas would say Shir and Meshuyer, and the second one would say Shir and Meshuyer. In other words, we would say the first braisa would be saying. And the first braisa would be saying that the baby is considered to be an independent chatas, so therefore it has the dinim of a chatas. It's not a vlad chatas because it wasn't born yet. And we said before, according to the opinion that we're going to bring this up again, but if we take the view that vlade kodshim bahava yos and hen kodshim, that they only get kedusha when they're born. Well, definitely, anyway, a vlad chatas is clearly only considered a vlad and only has a din. That's a vlad chatas, which is a mitzvah, only once born, and here it wasn't born yet. So therefore, the Tanakama would be taking the first braisa over here would be taking the view that it's considered an independent chatas, therefore you eat it like any other chatas. And the other one would consider that the other one who treats it like chulin would say that it's considered uber yerach imayhu. So, however, the Kedusha only comes on it when it's born, not because, again, blood is Kodshim Baba Yasanim Kedushim. As long as it's in the womb, it's not yet considered to have Kedusha. Tosfos over here makes distinctions. Maybe you could say that you could be Makdishin in the womb, but it doesn't actually have Kedusha as a result, of its mother until it's born. Whatever. The point is, if we take that view, then that's exactly the Machlokas. Then they're arguing on Rabbi Yochanan's point, whether Shira and Meshuya. So again, Rabbi Yochanan can answer, no, the Tanoim are not arguing on that point. The Kulei Alma im Shira im Meshuyer, everybody would agree that if you left it over, it is considered left out. In other words, you can give the baby a separate status than the mother.
If you left it over.
Yeah, that's the whole point that we're discussing in the Sugya over here. You can be Makdish the mother without being Makdish the baby with the same Kedusha. Vahani Tanoi, Bahakamiflagi, rather the Tanoim of these two brises are arguing on a different point. When does the baby get the Kedusha of its mother? As we said before, the Marisava Vladi Kodshim Baba Yasanim Kedushim, one Tana would hold they only get the Kedusha once they're born at birth. Marisava Vladi Kodshim Meim and Kedushim, and the other one holds that it becomes Kodesh while it's still in the womb. So that would be the difference, whether it's considered a Chatos or whether it's considered holy. Right. The Iboyesema, or yet another possibility, like Kasha, another possibility is there's no contradiction between the two Braises, because Kant should be judicial of a Seif Nisabra. One Braise would be talking about where you were Makdashit, and later on it became pregnant. So now, everybody would agree, Bahava Yosin Hain Kedushin, let's say, we would say everybody agrees it only becomes Kodesh with the Kedusha of the mother when it's born. So when do we say that it has the kedusha of a chatas? We'd be talking about where it was pregnant when you were makdish it. Kan bishinis abra will say the kedusha. If it was pregnant when you were makdish it, then we would say again im shira meshuyer, the baby is considered to have an independent status, and therefore it becomes a separate chatas. So it's not really machloikas, in other words. So according to this, it's not even machloikas between the two prices. They're talking about two different cases. When the baby has a separate status of its own, then it's considered a chatas. When it's not considered to have a separate status of its own, then it remains chulin until it's born, and only when it's born does it get the kedusha of its mother.
If it was pregnant, whether it was pregnant before
you were makdashit or not.
If it's pregnant before, then it's a separate entity.
If it's pregnant before, then it's considered a separate entity, and it could have its own separate kedusha, and that would be the first braisa that says, therefore, that you treat it like a chatas. You treat the baby like a chatas. If it was not pregnant before, then you would say, then you would say they both go together, and therefore it's considered chulin until it's born, because it only gets the kedusha of its mother
when
it's born.
Then it has to die.
Well, yeah, because then it's a vlad chatas. Okay. So in other words, the point is that not necessarily does Rabbi Yochanan's statement even depend on a machloekas Tanoim. All the Tanoim might agree with Rabbi Yochanan's point that Shira and Meshuyer, and therefore we have no contradiction for him, and the halacha in fact can be lacking. Okay, Maskif for Rava. Now Rava asks on the whole premise. We thought to contradict Rabbi Yochanan that Shira and Meshuyer on the basis of the original Braisa that we brought about the Shifcha and her baby. But Rava asked me, "My the time of the Rabbi Yochanan in Shira Meshuyer, how do we know b'chlal that Rabbi Yochanan's reason why he says that you're able to be that Rabbi Yochanan says in his original din that he says that you could be meskafa with either one? Who says it's based on the idea of Shira Meshuyer? Dilma hain the time of the Rabbi Yochanan, maybe Rabbi Yochanan has a different reason that you could say let's say yes, the baby has kedusha by virtue of its mother." Why is it not a chatas on Mesa? Because maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds the odim miskaper b'shvach hefkish. Because Rabbi Yochanan would hold that a person is able to be miskaper with the benefit that came from hefkish. In other words, maybe Rabbi Yochanan holds, when do we say that vlad chatas is one of the chatoris on Mesa? If the person doesn't want to use the vlad for a korban, then the only other choice is that goes with Mesa. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan would hold the person has the option of using the vlad chatas as a korban. Because it's shvach hektish, it's a gain that came from an animal of hektish, because it's an animal of hektish that gave birth, and Rabbi Yochanan would hold, fine, you have the option of using that for a chatas, and if you don't use it for a chatas, then it goes l'misa. So if we were to say that, then it has nothing to do with the question of shira and meshuyer. We could even say shira ain't in meshuyer. You couldn't designate it as a different type of korban. but you have the ability to use it itself as that type of carbon.
You think the thing had this, I mean, that when someone says, I'm giving this card, this carbon for a chassis, it becomes headless?
Well, that's how it always works. Yeah, you say this animal is a chassis, it becomes a chassis. But the point is, if we say other miskafa b'shvach hektish, it would mean that the person is also, there's included in that, that the person also is able to use the later shvach that comes from it towards his chassis. So in this particular case, if it has a baby, if it has a vlad, then that vlad is also fine to use for the chassis.
But it would be different chassis.
In other words, he's using one or the other.
And the other one would have...
would be left to graze, so we'll develop some more material.
Yeah, Hektish would own it now.
Right. Yeah, both of them are owned by Hektish, yeah.
But either way, it can't be used for another chassis.
You can't use it for another chassis, that's for sure, right. So maybe, in other words, we thought that Rabbi Yochanan is saying the reason why it works to use the baby is because you are makdish it separately than the mother, but maybe not. Maybe you are makdish it together with the mother, but the din would be that you're able then to use the baby instead of the mother. That's all.
Shvach hektish.
So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, according to that way, right, in other words, like this, the Nafka Minna would be like this. If we said that it's on the basis of Shira and Meshuyer, then it means, which, as we said at the beginning of the Gemara, whichever one you mock, if the other one is left to graze, because it's like a chatef lachrayis. If we take the view, other miskata b'shvach hektish, it means this baby is only shvach hektish. If you use the mother and do not use the baby, then the only other choice is the baby is going to go to Misa. But if you use the baby, the mother is not going to go to Misa because it's not vlad. It's not vlad. It's.
Now, I'm not about the situation. You're supposed to use that to have a bigger carbon for...
Okay, you should, fine. But still, Rabbi Yechanan might hold that you're able to.
But if you use the mother, then...
Then the baby would be here via Chatas HaMesa, yeah. If we take that view.
Oh, if you want to save the Chatas HaMesa, then you could...
Then you use the baby as the Chatas, and then the mother would be left to graze.
Great.
Okay. So maybe that's Rabbi Yechanan's reason. Amalei Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna tells Rava, can't be that that's Rabbi Yechanan's reason. We know that because Rav Elazar Talmidei Rav Yechanan, because Rav Elazar is the Talmud who mentioned earlier in the Gemara. He's the one who brought up the question from the case of our Mishnah. He's the one who brought up the question from our Mishnah about he shlomim with Lada Ayla, which we said, therefore, the wording of the Mishnah is wrong, and we need to correct it. Rabbi Elazar is the one who brought up that question. He was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer him that. If Rabbi Yochanan held other miskapa b'shvach hektish, he should have told Rabbi Elazar the case of the Mishnah is completely irrelevant to what we're talking about. So you want to argue that that's Rabbi Yechanan's reason? Rabbi Yechanan himself didn't find that a reason that he could answer Rabbi Yechanan. He needed to give Rabbi Yechanan a different answer. Rabbi Yechanan needed to give Rabbi Elazar a different answer, namely that the wording of the Mishnah is wrong and needs to be corrected. If Rabbi Yechanan himself held other miskapa b'shvach hektish, he could have answered Rabbi Elazar the case of the Mishnah where you said that the mother is an oila, that the mother is a shlomim and the baby is an oila, is irrelevant to the case where you have a baby and other miskapa b'shvach hektish.
Not necessarily.
Yes, he could have answered that because it would be much better to answer that than to have to fix up the wording of the Mishnah.
He wanted to answer on the basis of
no.
Yeah,
no, but we said we don't have to. In other words, well, that's the point. Why would he want to answer on the basis of Ober Yerachima, which would lead to all these questions? He could have answered other miskapa b'shvach hektish. Never mind then all the questions that the Stamma de Gemara brought on him. Just the question that Rabbi Elazar brought on him from the Mishnah about he shlomim of Lada Ola, Rabbi Yochanan could have answered. He shlomim of Lada Ola, fine. You can say over there that's why it uses the expression vlad shlomim, because it only has a secondary expression by virtue of the mother. However, this is a separate case. Fine, it is vlad chatas, but good. Adam miskapa b'shvach hektish. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to use that answer shows he didn't hold Adam miskapa b'shvach hektish. Therefore, it must be the only other reason he could have held is on the basis of Shira and Meshuyah, on the basis of Ovalav Yerachim.
And therefore we exclude Shvach
Hektish. So Rava is saying that Rava Amnuna is telling him that can't be Rav Yechanan's reason. Okay. Then the Mishnah finished off. In Mishnah Omer Harezah Shlomo Nimlach, if we said if Rabbi Yosi had said if after he said Harezah Shlomo, then he changed his mind and said Vlada Ola, then it doesn't work. So that's where the Gemara asks, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Vlad and Shlomim. Of course the Vlad has to be a Shlomim like the mother. What are you telling me? I mean, how long are you going to give him to change his mind? I mean, there has to be a limit. Amar Papa, when Nitzucha Elish Amar B'Teich Kirei Dibur. Yes, but the Chiddush of the Mishnah is supposed that he said it B'Teich Kirei Dibur, but there was Nimlach. He did change his mind. You would think that maybe Teich Kirei Dibur is considered like Kedibur. Bahai a unique who become ayin. It's just that he was considering it for a moment. In other words, in particular, the Ran has a famous explanation. Why is it that usually we say that if you say another thing, but usually it works? The reason is, he says, because a person sometimes says something and they haven't thought through all the ramifications of it. So within Toskina Dibur, we can expect they may continue and realize there's still more details that I have to give. And therefore he says there's a couple of dinim where Toskina Dibur does not apply. For example, when a person is Megadif, a person curses Hashem, for example, then there's no Toskina Dibur. There's a few other cases like that where, you know, because serious things like that, a person doesn't speak without thinking through all the ramifications first. So here the Gemara is essentially saying the same thing. You would think that if he said Uvlada Ola, it was Tosfos Dibur, maybe it should be acceptable because he didn't think through the whole thing yet, and therefore we should allow that. Amash Malon, therefore Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah is telling us that no, even if it was Tosfos Dibur, if it was Nimlach, if he actually within those couple of seconds had actually rethought it and only then decided to say Uvlada Ola, then it wouldn't work. So in other words, like we said, Rabbi Yosi would say, we would actually ask him, when you said Hareza Shlom, and then when within Teich Kirei Dibur, you said Vlada Ola, was that all one continuous thought? And you just didn't have a chance to, then you just took a couple of seconds to finish it? Or is it that you actually had two separate thoughts? You said Harezer Shlomim, and then within a split second after that, you realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I should actually say Vlada Ola. And the idea would be, again, it fits with what the Ran is saying, because Rabbi Yossi would be saying, basically, that declaring something hektish is like those other cases where Tosfos Dibur doesn't apply, because a person doesn't just say hektish casually, a person says it with thought behind it, and therefore, yeah. So that was right. So it would apply if it's all within one thought, but not if it's two separate thoughts, even though it's Tosfos Dibur, right. Yeah.